Hello guys, this is Christiane here, and I have today this really nice guest, Kristen Oja. She's a functional medicine provider here in Atlanta, Georgia. Let me tell you how I get to know her. She's been in my life for the last 3 years, and I tell everybody, you need to see this person. This is amazing, the business that she has. She's a mom, entrepreneur, but she did really change my life, the way that I eat, my energy. So I thought, why not bring her in here? Because we're all here, we have busy lives, family, business, all the above. So Kristen, so happy to have you here. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. That was a great introduction. I think you covered most of it. But I started Stout Wellness, which is our functional medicine and movement practice, back in 2019. And so we've been open, we just celebrated 6 years, and we're about to open our fourth location in May. We have about 40 employees, almost 8,000 patients, and we're actually going to be opening in Charleston and Cleveland as well. So we will be going from 3 to 6 if everything goes according to plan by the end of 2025.
Wow, that's so amazing. So the fourth one that you open is in Tennessee. Where is it? Yes. That's amazing.
Nashville.
Okay.
We're really excited about this space because it's our first two-story. We have a whole floor for movement. So we have barbells and kettlebells, TRX, physical therapy, all of that on the movement side, which will be on one full floor. And then we have a whole floor for medicine. So we've got our functional medicine providers, health coaches, dietitians, about a 1500 square foot patio. So there'll be a lot of natural light, and it's a feel good space.
Yes, it's different. You know, like for me, I've always been an entrepreneur, and you know, when I, but like by my late 30s, I felt something was not right. Like my energy level, I was working out and not having the same results. Like my, you know, and then we can go through all of the things that, you know, that somebody told me about you, and I start seeing you, and you showed me a totally different way that traditional medicine, right? Like they deal with problems, especially women, hormones, stress. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like how you, so the whole holistic that I love.
Well, there is such a huge need for well done functional medicine in the United States, because people are really tired of going to their primary care visit once a year, spending 7 minutes with their provider and talking about how they're tired, their hair is falling out, they're not building muscle the same way, they're not sleeping well. And the solution is usually like, here's an antidepressant, or here's a medication to help with sleep. Or what everybody dreads is everything in your labs is normal. So you go in and you don't feel good, and you're told everything is normal. And, but you're like, I don't feel optimal. And I think it's really important to understand our reference ranges based on labs are based on the current state of Americans. So they take everybody's labs and they put them on a bell curve, and that's how they determine reference ranges. And so I like to share with my patients, reference ranges mean you're normal compared to other Americans, but are Americans healthy? And are we striving to be normal, or are we striving to be optimal? And so one of the big things we do at Stout Wellness, and you can actually see this in our logo. So if anybody goes to our website and you see our W, in the middle, there's a triangle, and that's the mind, body, and spirit, because we believe our whole body is connected as one unit. And then you'll see a gap, and that gap is intentionally there, and it indicates that there's room for improvement in us all. So no matter how good we feel, no matter how healthy we are, or we've never received a medical diagnosis, I always say the absence of disease is not health. And I try to do my labs every 4 months as well, and there's always room to improve. And so number one, don't normalize symptoms, right? If you're tired, if you're exhausted, if you don't feel good, don't normalize it.
Because it's like your body's telling you, right? That's what, like, I remember going to this traditional, everywhere that I went, I came out with a pill prescription. I'm like, I don't want this. I don't need this.
Right.
And my body's telling me something. This is not right. And it has, yeah.
Well, and the conventional model is based on what is the right treatment for the symptom or what is the right medication for the disease, right? It's a matching a treatment plan with the person versus functional medicine is, well, let's take a really deep dive. Let's understand how your whole body works as one and let's identify imbalances. And I love when we were talking about your listeners or entrepreneurs or real estate agents, they're females. I have such a passion for women and female entrepreneurs and preventing burnout and optimizing your health. And I like to also caveat that with the goal is not to live a stress-free life, right? If we aren't putting stress on ourselves and pressure on ourselves, we're not becoming better. But there is eustress and there's de-stress. And I find that the issue is not the stress in our lives, it's the lack of recovery in all areas of health. Our sleep, our nutrition, our hydration, even relationships, fun, laughter. So it's not the stress, right? We all have stress. It's how we just don't have those periods to balance it out and recharge.
Okay. So ideally, what should be, you know, women my age or, you know, late 30s, 40s, what should they be doing? You know, realistically, right? Like, yeah.
Well, we can talk about the lifestyle side and we can talk about the lab testing side. As many know, at Stat Wellness, we're very pro hormone replacement therapy. And I think number one, it's really important to understand that women, a lot of people, you may have heard this quote, but women are not tiny men. We are chemically different than our male counterparts. So what is really fascinating, if you actually sit back and think about this, if you're a female of reproductive age, so let's say you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 20s, maybe early 50s and haven't gone through menopause, when you are having a menstrual cycle, every single day of the month, you are chemically different. You are waking up with different hormones every single day of the month. And when you really sit back and you think about that, I always think of that brain emoji just exploding. It's like, wow, we expect to live the same life, push the same way, do the same things, respond the same way when every single day we're chemically different. So my number one, because we're talking about women specifically, is really get to know your cycle, really lean in, use an app and track when your menstrual cycle is starting, track how you're feeling during each phase of the menstrual cycle. If your cycle is starting to get abnormal and you're getting into perimenopause, test your hormones. And we're real big believers in starting hormone replacement therapy because the day we start losing our hormones is the day we start aging at a much faster rate. And we can get into cycles if you want to get into how our body is different during each cycle. I don't know if a lot of your women are menopausal and we want to talk about hormone replacement therapy, or if a lot of them are still of reproductive age and we want to get into cycle syncing. But I think this is a very important thing as we think about preventing burnout as women.
All right. Now, so let's dive into a little bit, you know, I think the hormone is very important. And it's not like, you know, if I need a hormone, you're going to go get in there, hey, take this. Like there's everything, there's a study. And I know because I went through, guys, like I had to do that testing for the hormones. But if that's only one thing that you see, because it's so important, especially for us, the age that we are, you know, perimenopause, there's not a lot of studies. There's not a lot of things for women. So it's good to see the whole thing and the holistic.
Well, and women weren't really even included in research studies until the last couple of years. Like we are just now starting to get some good studies with women in them. And the reason they excluded women is because of what I was mentioning earlier. Every single day of the month, we're different. We're unique. We're chemically different. We're not a exact robot every day for test studies. And so that's complex. Are you pregnant? Are you postpartum? Are you menstruating? Are you on birth control? And so now we're in a really exciting space of research because they are doing a lot more studies on hormone replacement therapy, on the impacts of hormone and brain health. And one story I always love to go back to is I had this woman come in. She was 50 years old. She'd been an executive her entire career. And she went into her primary care and she was telling them that she was having such bad word recall. She was like, I'm forgetting people's names. I'm having to write every single thing down. I am not feeling as sharp as I used to be. And they sent her to a psychiatrist to get tested for ADD and ADHD. And she came in to see me and I told her, I said, you are a 50-year-old woman that has worked an executive level position your entire career. This is not adult onset ADD and ADHD. This is a hormonal imbalance. And we checked her hormones and she had no progesterone. And this is what I see very commonly in entrepreneurs and females with high pressure jobs, because progesterone, if you think about it, it stands for progestation. Progesterone's our pregnancy hormone. And when women are stuck in fight or flight, cortisol dominant, it's not an ideal environment for pregnancy. So when we have high cortisol, we have low progesterone, progestation. So, you know, she had very low progesterone, combination of both high stress and perimenopause. She wasn't sleeping well. She wasn't handling stress as well. She was getting more anxious. And she had no pregnenolone, which is your cognition hormone, your master hormone. And so we simply started her on some low dose bioidentical progesterone. She started sleeping better. She felt calmer. She had better mental clarity. And she was like, I am very happy I went in this direction versus the conventional model was sending her to a psychiatrist to start a stimulant that is only going to worsen the adrenal and hormonal imbalances.
Wow, you're right. Yes, because cortisol is the stress hormone, right?
Yes.
And what, you know, I know a lot of people lately, everything has been about gut health and everything that it does. Can you go a little bit, show us what you've found or, you know, on gut health?
Mm-hmm. The gut is really where a lot of my research started. So when I did my doctorate, my whole dissertation was on people with irritable bowel syndrome, because 1 in 4 Americans has digestive issues, right?
Wow.
And there's this whole bucket called irritable bowel syndrome when you don't have an inflammatory bowel disease and they can't find anything wrong with you. They say you just have an irritable bowel. And it's really fascinating because Hippocrates said over 2,000 years ago that all disease begins in the gut. And so if you think about that, you're like, where did this get missed? Where do we start separating out gastroenterologists, endocrinologists, pulmonologists, right? You see your specialist and we forget that a lot of this stems from gut dysfunction. So the gut, what does it do? One, it's 90% of our immune system. It's our first line of defense. So if you're getting sick frequently, if you're worn down, and if you don't have a healthy gut, you need to work on your gut microbiome, the gut lining, to keep a strong immune system. The other piece that's so critical is you make 90% of your serotonin in your gut. And serotonin is your happy neurotransmitter. So if we have gut dysfunction, we normally don't handle stress as well. We have more depression. We also absorb all of our nutrients. So we used to say you are what you eat. So when I started practicing in 2014, everything was you are what you eat. Like, what are we putting in our body? And then we started realizing, no, you're actually what you absorb. So you could eat a really good diet. You could have a very bad gut.
Oh, you're right.
Not absorbing your nutrients, right? Yeah. So we absorb our nutrients. We call the gut now our estrobiome. And we know that the gut actually plays a role with how we process estrogen. And we have a lot of estrogen dominance in the United States. So partly stress, because stress depletes progesterone, partly all this gut dysfunction that we have with clearing estrogen. And then we can, you know, this whole environmental space of microplastics, phthalates, glyphosates, heavy metals, you know, so those are endocrine disruptors. So we have a lot of estrogen dominance. So the gut even plays a role with that. And then the most fascinating one to me is, some people are familiar with melatonin, but melatonin is what helps us sleep. Melatonin is our hormone that is produced at night in response to darkness and low cortisol. So we need both those things to happen. We need it to be dark and we need to not be stressed. And then we make melatonin to get good quality sleep. Well, when I was in school, they taught us that our melatonin was all produced in the pineal gland in the brain. It was a brain hormone. What they're finding now is about 400 times more melatonin is made in our gut microbiome than our brain. So think about our sleep, absorbing nutrients, our serotonin, our immune system. I mean, I could keep going on, but those are a few.
Yes, that's so amazing. Just to think, like, what can we do? like, you know, things that we can do at home. I know you helped me change my diet a lot. And I know the last time that I saw you, I was saying, I'm working so much, my business growing, I love it. And you told me about the Tabata snacks that I started implementing. I mean, yeah, talk a little bit about, yeah.
So if we think about how do we biohack as a female, I think there's so many things we have to think about. Is how do we become the best version of ourselves? How do we habit stack? How are we efficient with our time? What moves the needle the most? And so, you know, we can talk about from the moment we wake up till the moment we go to bed, some things to consider. Of course, we are all unique individuals. So I like to preface that what works for one person might not work for another. But number one, we were really designed to wake up at similar times. So I think number one, have a consistent morning routine. Wake up around the same time, set your alarm, but keep your phone on the other side of the bedroom so you're not tempted to look at it before you go to bed, which we'll get into that. But wake up at the same time. Also remember, you wake up dehydrated. Every single one of us wakes up dehydrated. So wake up, drink a good amount of water. I'm huge on electrolytes. Not everybody loves them, but I do a big glass of water and electrolytes to hydrate me. Adrenal glands love electrolytes. So wake up at the same time, hydrate. If you can, get sunlight on your face first thing in the morning. The sun helps to activate our cortisol. And if you wake up really early and the sun's not out, go on Amazon and buy an inexpensive happy light. You know, plug that happy light in and it will stimulate the sun.
Oh, okay.
Also for women and most women, there are some that are an exception, we are big into eating breakfast. So remembering that food is fuel, we really like a high protein, lower carb breakfast. I used to be taught and I used to tell people you should have the most carbs with breakfast because you're going to burn through them during the day. But if you have too many carbs at breakfast, you actually create more blood sugar instability during the day, more sugar cravings, more carb cravings. Mm. So you really want a high protein, lots of veggies, fiber, healthy fats. And then we really suggest, I'm not anti-coffee. My whole team knows I love coffee. Not everybody tolerates coffee the way my body tolerates it. So there are people that shouldn't drink coffee, but we should delay our coffee a little bit. We want to let our body make cortisol on its own. And so we suggest about 90 minutes after waking and after having a good nutritious breakfast and hydrating yourself and getting electrolytes, then sip your coffee. And what people find when they drink their coffee after a good meal, it slows the caffeine spike and drop, and they have actually much more stable energy during the day versus drinking coffee on an empty stomach. It gets in your system fast and out of your system fast. So spike and drop. Think about alcohol. Somebody's probably gone to a happy hour without eating and had a glass of wine, and you feel it really quickly, right? Because there's not that food. Caffeine's the same way. So consistent wake time, hydration and electrolytes, good high protein breakfast with fiber that can be veggies and greens or ground flaxseed, avocados. Then we want to make sure we delay our coffee a little bit and enjoy the coffee or green tea or no caffeine. No caffeine is great. Rely on our natural energy sources. And then you want to think about habit stacking. How do we keep our day organized for success? And so I suggest having some time where you focus on one task at a time. So I went to this conference with EY. I was very honored to be selected as this winning woman. So I got to go to Palm Springs and the speaker came up and he did this exercise that I think is so powerful about multitasking. So this is really important as we think about a working day for women or anybody. So anybody listening, you guys can do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you write out multitasking is switch tasking. And then you write out 1 through 20 underneath. And I always tell people time how long it takes you, write multitasking is switch tasking, 1 through 20. Maybe you finish that in 30 seconds. You're pretty fast. Now what I want you to do next is go M1, U2, L3. And you will feel your brain lacking focus, lacking clarity, getting frustrated, and what took you maybe 30 seconds before is going to take you about 90 seconds when you go letter, number, letter, number. And so that exercise is just a perfect example of what we're doing all day long when we multitask, when we're getting notifications, emails.
Yeah, and that's what they told us for the longest time. We're able to multitask, right? That's fine. You can do this. We were told so many lies.
Well, think about all that stimulation and the changing. And I always tell people there are points in the day where you are multitasking. If you're a mom, you're cooking and you're talking to your kids,
yeah.
you're watching, like we can't avoid multitasking, but we can structure our day to have an hour where we're doing a singular task. This hour, I'm only checking emails. This hour, I'm plotting out my podcast guest and my podcast questions. This hour is for me to sit back and read a book and do some stretching, right? We can create some of that space of single task oriented behavior, and that's going to decrease stimulation and naturally decrease cortisol versus yes. constantly being attacked by stimulation all day long.
And it helps, it's going to help with productivity, right? Because what I've learned is like time block. Like, especially cell phones, like, you know, put it on, do not disturb in the morning until you're ready. And then if you're doing something that requires your brain, just because as soon as I see a notification, I tend to grab it. That's normal for us. And with the time blocking, and one thing that I've learned with you is like, take time. Like, you're working for 3 hours, take 20 minutes, like go outside, walk around, because we don't do that. And sometimes... Yeah. And then at the same time, we're not producing as much. And we're like, why am I not producing as much if I work today? And then I look at how many hours I woke up 6:30 mm-hmm. to 2 o'clock. It's about a whole shift. And I wonder why I'm tired and, you know, like, gotta take the breaks.
Well, and there's lots of research studies on this, but you are right. When you take those breaks, you're actually optimizing performance, productivity, and focus. And the reason is when we sit, our right and our left hemisphere of our brain, they don't communicate as effectively. And we have sides of our brain that are more analytical, and we have sides of our brain that are more creative. So if we're sitting here, if you're a business owner of any sort, if you're an employee, all of us have to be analytical and creative in our roles. Some usually provide more creativity or more analytical, but you have to problem solve. You have to strategize. Yeah. So that's analytical and creativity. So what I suggest is if you're sitting for 3 hours, 3 hours is to me even too long. I like to get up every hour and just have people roll their shoulders and take some deep breaths. Not everybody can do that, but at least every 3 to 4 hours, go for a walk. And there is a study you can search if the brain after sitting and the brain after walking, and you'll see the brain activity just lighting up across both hemispheres after a 15-minute walk. So if you're stuck, if you're like, I'm reading the same email over and over again, I don't even understand what I'm supposed to say to this or do, go for a 15-minute walk, come sit back down, and you will be blown away by the clarity just from getting outside, having the sun on your face, and your brain communicating more effectively.
That's your coffee break, but that's it's not coffee break. Evolved. Yes. Oh, your sugar break.
Yes.
That's very good hack. Yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say, remember the biggest way too, when your nervous system starts to feel an overdrive at any point during the day, one of the best ways to calm that down is through our breath. So if you start feeling your cortisol going up, your palms are getting sweaty, you're starting to get anxious, you're feeling overwhelmed, put one hand on your chest, one hand on your belly, and just take 5 slow, deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. And that just naturally grounds your system. And you can feel a difference. And I always tell people, what is the side effect of slow, deep breathing? Nothing, right? Same with exercise.
Right. That's amazing. And then can you talk about the Tabata snack?
Yes.
Because and I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Since I last saw you, I said, hey, I don't have time to work out. My life, you know, like I'm having to focus on my business. And you told me about the Tabata, and I started doing it. I started feeling better. And then guess what? I went back to the gym like 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Because that's what made me feel so good. I felt so clear. I feel like a lot of stuff happened. And I'm like, I need to do more of this.
Yes.
So I can be more productive. I can have more energy. So it happened the opposite. What I did not think I had energy, once I start doing a little bit, if start feeling good, it's amazing. But tell what the Tabata snack is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of my things I tell people is we all have busy seasons of life, right? We have seasons of life where we feel like
I love that.
Go to the gym for an hour or 5 days a week. I'm in that season of life right now. So I'm not going to sit here with my patients and be like, you need to go to the gym every day for an hour, 5 days a week. It's just there's seasons of life. It's not feasible. But what is feasible is doing a little bit more than you're doing right now, right? And that's where our whole favorite saying comes in. Little by little, little becomes a lot. So I love Tabatas because it's 4 minutes. That's it. This was created by a guy. I think his last name was Tabata. I believe he was a Japanese healthcare provider. Oh. But he came up with this concept called Tabatas, which is 4 minutes. You pick one exercise and you do 20 seconds on, 10 second rest, 20 seconds on, 10 second rest. And you do it 8 times through. And I don't know your experience, but if I do it and I'm doing push-ups, my chest is sore the next day. If I'm doing squats, oh, my legs are sore. It is 4 minutes. And what I love about it is it's getting your heart rate up. It's helping with perfusion or blood flow, which we need blood flow to our brain even, right? So when you get some of this movement, you get more blood flow, you get your heart pumping, you get endorphins released in 4 minutes, which help with mental clarity and mood. And you get mitochondrial support, which is probably what you felt, where you actually got more energy and then wanted to do more. Because the mitochondria, yes, that's the powerhouse in every one of our cells that makes ATP or energy. And exercise improves mitochondrial function. So I love Tabata.
Yeah. Yes, it's amazing. I start doing it like, wow, this is, I can incorporate this, and not only incorporate it, but, you know, I end up going back and say, I need to take care of myself. Because it makes my clarity, my day, you know, because we're all looking for, especially like you said, seasons of life. Like I don't have a lot of time, you know, time that I want to have with my kids, with my business. But it's like you start being like, okay, where am I going to spend my time, right? See my friends, do some self-care, right? And self-care became such a thing, like, you know, like it's nice everybody's talking about, but it got too much to the, you know, to the other side. And yeah, it's finally coming back like, okay, it's a time for you to just do whatever feels good, right? That's, yeah.
Go well, ahead. I love, there's this book called The Real Self-Care. Have you read it by Pooja Lashman?
No, but I'm going to write it down.
So I just love this so much because we got into a state and culture where self-care was getting a massage or getting your nails done or going to yoga or whatever it looked like, right? But she, yes, describes that as all faux self-care. We were going and doing something, you know, maybe for an hour for us, but for 23 hours of the day, our mind was telling us, you're not enough. You didn't present yourself well. I wish you didn't say that, right? And so she talks about in this book, which I always love to bring up with self-care, that real self-care is what's in our mind and how we're talking to ourselves all day long. And I see this with my patients all the time. You will run into more burnout. You will run into more exhaustion if you are constantly telling yourself you're not enough. You didn't do that well enough. You could have done better. Why is, you know, somebody popped in and my house is a mess. I have dishes in the sink, right? We live in a world of perfection and, you know, just the way we're presenting ourselves and how we look and how we act. And it is very exhausting to feel like you're never enough. It's actually a lot more peaceful and a lot more relaxing to start your day every day with an affirmation, as cheesy as that is, you know, you are enough. And my friend called me the other night and I just loved it. She was telling me I was talking to her about some business situation and she was telling me, she goes, Kristen, there's a book I read and it said, I am the expert, I am a prize. And she said, I want you to repeat that back to me 5 times. Like, I am the expert. I am the prize. And, you know, the way we talk to ourselves is so critically important for our hormone balance. We can create a stressful environment,
yeah,
or we can create a peaceful environment. So I have to include that with self-care. And I really highly suggest the book.
Yes. And especially for us, you know, our culture, being a female and everything, so much pressure. We get pressure from the world outside. We are constantly judging each other. I'm so glad it's changing, you know, and people reaching out, women are helping, you know, like we have a great community of women that are, you know, doing what they want to do and then creating habits, right? Like if it's meditating in the morning, if it is, you know, like mentalize or visualize a better life and then trying to get rid of those things, of those old tapes, or that really pushes down, right? You get your energy. Because men, There's no problem, right? Men can come in here and say this and that. They have all the confidence. What I see in women so many times, you know, including myself, I had to flex the muscle, right? To do my reps so the confidence can finally come out and you can finally, you know, be what you are, do what you are, and be fine, right? We don't do business like men. That's fine. Like, I love going to women's conference because we're all about getting together and then, you know, spending time doing something else and talking. It's different from being a men's conference. I go to men's too, and it's totally different. So it's really nice to create those environment, those rooms, so the women can be, you know, can finally get to do business and see other women.
Well, and I love that you brought there's a study, and I might mess up the percentages, but the picture, the concept will be the same. But there was a study that was done on women and men applying for jobs. And a woman will only apply to a job if she meets 100% of the criteria. So, you know, must speak Spanish. If that person is not fluent in Spanish, even if they're 50% can speak Spanish, they aren't going to apply, right? If they ask for 5 years of job experience and they don't have it, they're not going to apply. Where women, men, the counterparts, I think the study, and I again might be wrong on this percentage, but it was about 70%. So they only needed to have 70% of the criteria. And then they were like, I'm a great person for this job. Like, I have most of what they're looking for. And if you think about that mindset difference, like, right there is already more pressure.
All right.
So
definitely.
Yeah, and very interesting.
Yeah, and that's what is so hard sometimes for women growing and building their business and say, hey, I mean, I deal with this. It's the perfection, right? We wanted to make sure everything is perfect, but it's not that way. And that's why a lot of my posts, a lot of that I talk about it, just like, it doesn't need to be perfect.
Yes.
You're going to create it. It's never going to be perfect. Just, you know, that's, but this is things from the society that we carry, right? And it's heavy, but we got to tell ourselves and do the meditation, whatever people, you know, or pray, whatever they feel like they're in touch with themselves.
Yes.
So they can grow and be, do, you know, do what they want to do, because it's there.
Yes.
I'm sure you see a lot of women that are like, you know, I want to do things, but sometimes it's just the mindset is stop them from achieving.
Well, and the imposter syndrome, right? I think that holds back so many women, is this belief that they don't know enough. They're not an expert in the space. They don't have enough to offer. What are someone going to gain by being around them? Or, you know, whatever lies that us as women tell ourselves. And, you know, everybody has those thoughts, but what are you going to do with them? And I always envision a train. I'm very visual. So like, I envision a train coming in, like, you might have those thoughts, the imposter thoughts, but
right.
We also have this spot to switch the thought and have that leave our brain, right? So maybe we have the thought come in being like, I don't know enough on the subject matter. Okay, it's in your brain. How do we switch it? I know some about this subject matter that I'm excited to share. It comes out, right? So
yep.
The same thought is there. You don't feel like you know 100% about it, but the I don't know anything, I don't know enough to share, and I know some things to share is a totally different narrative that actually influences our burnout.
Yeah. Exactly. So I tell everybody, like, when, as soon as I started wanting to change my career, because I pivoted, you know, I had small business for the longest time. So I pivoted into real estate. I didn't know much, but I'm like, I told myself, I'm going to start acting like that Christian that I want to be a year from now, whatever. And I'm going to start acting like her now. And it was so amazing. And I tell that myself every day, yes, I don't know 100%, but I'm going to go in there. I'm going to put myself in a comfortable situation. And then when you do it, you're like, okay, it's easy now. You go to the next step, but you got to keep on moving, right? That's what it's so interesting. But now, I know we're getting closer to the end of our podcast, but like, I want to ask you something before I let you go. As far as like snacks, I know I drive a lot. Like, sometimes I go from one property, you know, we do fix and flip in Atlanta, you know, doing a lot of stuff. And I'm like, sometimes, you know, I have my 2 eggs in the morning. I get my coffee because I know I love my coffee. And then I go, and then it's like 2 o'clock, like I'm starving. What can I have in my pantry? I call my car pantry that can help us, you know, even off as something healthy that's going to get us through dinner.
So my favorite is not as easy as a snack, but is really thinking about even packing kids' lunches and what we think about as bento boxes. You know, okay. Those little box, the lunch boxes where you can just put different snack foods in there, but to create some blood sugar balance. And so something that I would put in there, and I know I'll answer some of the like quick grab and go snacks too, but I might throw in there some cashews or some sort of nut or seed for my fat, a little bit of protein. I might put in some blueberries to get some of those antioxidants and fiber. I might roll up, now they put that little ice pack under these bento boxes, so I might roll up some turkey and Swiss. Not perfect, right? But that's going to give you some protein and keep you full. I'm big into the pre-made protein drinks. I'll even take those and I'll drink it with my snack if it doesn't have enough protein to keep you full. Because you want
so like you dilute the protein in water.
So I do both. Now I know these are not perfect options, but they're better than nothing. So
yes.
Orgain, they have a pre-made protein drink. They have a chocolate and a vanilla. There's another brand, Koya, that's K-O-I-A, and it's a pre-made protein drink. I don't know what it is about me. We sell protein powders at STAT, and some of my patients are so good about putting it in a shaker bottle with water.
Yep.
For some reason, I have it in my bag the entire day and I never shake it. Like, I don't know. It's like a mental block for me and powders where I make smoothies in the morning and great with them. So the Koya or the Orgain or something similar to that, it's already pre-mixed. It tastes like a chocolate milk and most of them will give you between 20 and 30 grams of protein. So if I pair that with some nuts and seeds, some berries, maybe even just eating an apple, it will be blood sugar balancing. I also will throw in, and I know none of these again are perfect foods, but chomp sticks or some sort of protein based, you know, some of the healthier grass fed meat sticks. Those are good sources of protein and you don't have to worry about temperature regulation. I'll also make chia seed pudding in mason jars. That is a place
where I love that
protein powder. And I'll just have it with a spoon in my car and the cup holder. And I use non-dairy, like a coconut milk. So I'm not really worried if it's not cold by the time I eat it. It's coconut milk, chia seeds,
Spiced
almonds, and a protein powder. And I'll grab that. I'll also make, I'm really big into making egg bites. So doing some sort of egg bites with ground turkey, some spinach and veggies, and having those to grab and eat. That's really helpful too. Hummus. Literally, you might see me with a whole container of hummus and a bag of rainbow carrots. You know?
So carrots and hummus, right? To me is the best. I love it. Or bell peppers, right?
Yes.
And
cucumber.
Okay. Amazing. And I know we could stay here all day long and talk so many things because you start talking about protein and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a whole, it's just like so much stuff, especially for, you know, for the muscle and protein helps like if we have it in the morning, because I try to get my two eggs. Sometimes I don't get to do it, but I try to do my two eggs, but it's just like, it helps to create a barrier for you not as hungry. Because before I remember eating something small in the morning or not eat anything, by noon I was so hungry. Does that have to do with the lack of protein in the morning diet?
Yeah, so protein keeps you full longer. Protein and fats, both of those are going to keep you full longer. So any meal that you can blend protein, fat, fiber, that's kind of your foundation, but we really try to avoid a meal without protein, because protein, there's multiple studies that people that eat good amounts of protein during the day, they eat less calories overall because their blood sugar is more stable. They have better control over their food cravings. Also, muscle is foundationally important for muscle recovery and just maintaining muscle. So if we get on a low protein diet, you're missing amino acids you need, which are building blocks of protein and muscles. So you'll start losing muscle, your metabolism at rest will go down, you'll start being more hungry during the day, and you'll reach for things that are going to bring your blood sugar up faster, which is empty calories and processed carbohydrates.
I can tell, like if I get that craving, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then I see what I ate, I'm like, okay, that makes sense, you know?
Yes.
But it's amazing. Kristen, thank you so much for you spending some time with us. I'm sure it's going to be helpful for a lot of women. Or, you know, or mail or, but how can people find you? How can people get to see your beautiful business?
Yes.
And you're right here in Atlanta, which not only Atlanta. So just, you know, let's dive into that.
Yes. can go to statwellness.com and learn about our practice. You can also text or call 404-254-5905. We take both texting and calls. And then my personal Instagram and website is kristinoja.com. So KRISTINOJA.com. And then on Instagram, I'm Kristin Oja DNP. So I try to post things of what I eat and what I'm doing and my kids and kitchen renovations and, you know, real life on there too.
It's normal lives, right? Yes. That's what I like. Yes. Authentic. Just for yourself, authentic. But I'll put all your credentials on a post. But thank you. Thanks again. You know, I was trying to have you here for the last 2 months. I'm like, I have to do it. I got to, you know, get you here. Well, all right.
So much. And happy to answer any other questions your listeners have. We could talk for days.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.